What the Health with George Bertineau on FUBAR Radio.
Good morning and welcome to What the Health on FUBAR Radio with me, George Bertineau. You guys might know me from my time on Married at First Sight or for dressing up as a baguette on Instagram, but actually I am an online health and fitness coach and a qualified one at that. And I am determined to cut through the bullshit advice and fitness misinformation floating around the internet. Each week I am joined by expert guests as we dissect trends and we bust myths. So let's do it. This week, I wanted to start off by telling you all a little bit about my fitness and health journey. So as an individual, I have struggled with addictions and toxic habits. That includes food, drink, obviously being alcohol and other forms of, you know, drink. So my biggest thing is, as an individual, I got carried away. I struggled with addiction to food after a period in my life where I got super, super lean and I was super, super healthy. I thought I was the epitome of health and fitness. I had a six pack. I looked great, but I was hurting and I was sad inside because I had no energy. And all I did was eat no calories and have no fun. So from that, I kind of went to food, like a lot of people that probably listen. A lot of people struggle with food, maybe not moving enough or consuming too much alcohol or too many calories from alcohol and food. And the biggest thing is I just turned to food and I was eating and eating and eating takeaways. I was being lazy. I was still going to the gym, but my biggest thing is I couldn't stop thinking about food. And it was Nando's this, it was McDonald's that, it was just overconsumption of calories and never knowing when to stop. Overeating, you know, overeating disorder is a condition where you just keep eating and even though you're full, you just eat more and more and more. I think at my worst, in 7 days, I think I did over 14 takeaways. This was when I lived in Bristol. I just finished my degree just before COVID. So kind of a great time to have this happen to me because, you know, during COVID times, you couldn't really order. But then I went to alcohol and then alcohol was, you know, bottle of wine a night, easy during the week with work the next day and repeat and repeat. And it becomes a vicious, vicious cycle. So I made a decision to change. I looked at myself in the mirror and I just said to myself, the only person who can make this change is you. Now, it's easy for me to say because I've always been involved in health and fitness. I was a super talented rugby player who got injured lots. I was referred to myself as a chocolate teapot. And the main thing for me is I might have done fitness when I was younger, but life changes, struggles. There's more that goes on. You know, it's not just, oh, I have to wake up and go to school now. I had responsibilities. I had to do things for myself. So the biggest thing for you guys is making a decision to make the change. If you don't make a decision, no one will ever, ever do it for you. So the reality is, look yourself in the mirror. If you are struggling with something in particular, if it is alcohol, if it is food, if it's motivation or anything like that, then if you rely solely on motivation, you will never, ever, ever get there, sadly, because motivation comes and goes. Now, guys, time for our first guest of the day. This week, we're going to be investigating cold water swimming as therapy. So joining me now to discuss this further is Mike Morris, founder of Chill Therapy, to discuss the benefits of cold water swimming on mental health. Mike, good morning. How are you?
Good morning to you. Very well, thank you.
Good. Thank you so much for joining us. Right. Would you mind telling us how and why you first got into cold water swimming?
So I live in Devon, North Devon, Croyde, and it's sort of quite active down here, which so I moved down from London. And so I gave up work and I decided to start a triathlon, which is now running quite successfully in Croyde. And I also started a swim and it was called the Exmoor Open Water Swim. And we had lots of people come in from all over the country to go swimming. And there was one batch of ladies that refused to wear wetsuits, and it was cold. So I said, look, I really think you should wear wetsuits. They said no. I got them to sign disclaimers, and they went in, and of course, they didn't have any problem. When they got out, I noticed they were invigorated. They looked great. They were on top of their game. They're all sort of 50 plus in age. Yeah. And I spoke to them and I said, why do you do this? And they said, we do it for our mental health. So I thought, wow, that's, you know, certainly a sort of get up and go type person or group of people that can get up and go into the cold water. So I thought, wouldn't it be lovely to offer that to people who perhaps don't have so much of the get up and go. So I started Chill in 2020, obviously a very strange time, lockdown, et cetera, and we were allowed to do it because it was a therapy. And we got a group of people in, and we advertised as Chill swimming for people with anxiety and depression. And we got a lot of people along. We got them in the water, and that was quite interesting to see whether anyone would turn up and whether they'd go into the water. And it's so mad. I mean, if you just imagine you right now saying, right, you're going to take off all your kit apart from your swimming trunks and you're going to get in the cold water, you'd say, no way. It's mad. Yeah. So we didn't know it's going to work. Anyway, these people got in and they loved it. So we obviously realized there was, you know, something about it. And obviously Romans and Greeks and everyone for many, many years know the benefits of cold water. Mm. So we thought we would try and quantify it to see exactly, or try and see what's going on. So we did various things, like we believe that inflammation is reduced and there's stuff in the blood that you can measure the inflammation of your body. And we did it before and after, and we saw, yes, that did reduce. But then we got onto the sort of the actual crux of it, which is the anxiety and depression. And there are two forms called PHQ-9, which are 9 questions for depression, and GAD-7, 7 questions for anxiety. And it basically measures how anxious and how depressed you are. Mm-hmm. So we did, in around 2020, this sort of test of people filling out the forms before they went in.
Yeah.
It's important to know that we're talking about an 8-week course, 1 hour each week. And also it's important to say that it's with other people, like-minded people. Mm. It's a very sociable thing. So they got into the water and they did their 8 weeks. And then we tested them to see what their levels of anxiety and depression, just by asking them the same questions again. Mm-hmm. And then we did it again 2 months after. And the results were quite outstanding. And basically 80% of those people who were depressed were no longer depressed. And the way you measure it is if it's below 5, it's on a score. So for instance, GAD 7 is 7 questions.
Yeah.
If you score under 5, you're not depressed. If you score, or not anxious, if you score over 5, then you're perceived to be anxious.
Obviously, out of 10, or is it one of those scales like the Borg scale, which is like to 18 or whatever it is?
Yeah, it goes up to 21.
Okay.
Oh. If you are 10, you're moderately anxious. Going up to 14, 15, you're getting pretty anxious. Mm-hmm. And then by 19 or 20, you're obviously, you know, off the scale of anxious. And the same with depression. That's 9 questions, so that goes up to 27. But again, below 5, if I was to sort of talk to someone and they weren't particularly depressed or whatever, it could be a good day, it could be a bad day, you might have 5 or 6 or whatever.
Yeah.
So we did this, and almost everyone, and there were exceptions, but on the whole, came below 5, which means that they were no longer depressed. After 2 months, the anxiety and depression raised a bit, but it was still way, way better than it was before. So we're dealing with that, and we thought, well, this is all very exciting, but the NHS and science and whatever would just say, well, perhaps there was something good on television. Perhaps it was Christmas. Perhaps it was nice weather, so people became less depressed. So the only real way to do this is actually do a controlled experiment.
Yeah.
So we have to have a bag of people randomized, and we just say, right, you're going into the water and you're not going into the water. So with Dr. Heather Massey from the NHS Sussex Partnership, and she's also actually part of the Portsmouth University Extreme Environment Laboratory. Nice. She set up a whole experiment, and there are about 88 people, and this is in 2022. And we grabbed a lot of people and put them and did the same thing, basically. Now, these results, this is in 2022, 2023. It's taken up till now to get these results, and they actually have just been released. They've just been published.
Okay.
Actually, you're the first person I've spoken to about this, so it's
fantastic.
Quite exciting.
Yeah,
it's a exciting first.
It is. It is a first. It's an exclusive here on FUBAR Radio.
PHQ-9, on average, they were, by the way, they carry on with their treatment. Okay. So it might be antidepressants, counseling, etc. So you carry on with that. So the group that went in to the water went from 11, which is, as we said, moderately depressed.
Out of 27 or 21?
That's out of 27.
Okay.
To 6. And that was PHQ-9, which is the depression.
Yeah.
Okay. That's in black and white. The GAD-7 went from about 8, which is, again, moderately anxious, to 4, which, as we said, is below 5, no longer anxious.
Okay.
And that was, and basically 2 months afterwards, we did it again. It was roughly the same, a little bit. Changed a little bit, but not very much. Now, the control group, no change.
Okay.
So that's proof, black and white. You know, a lot of people talk about cold water, and we can go into the benefits of it and what we think is happening. But this is categorical, black and white proof that if you go in to the water for 8 weeks, for an hour each week, with other people, and that's the interesting thing, you will be way less depressed after 8 weeks.
So reduced stress, reduced depression, reduced anxiety, an hour a week, all at once, yeah?
Yeah, so what we were doing, this program that I developed with a chap called Dr. Mark Harper.
Yes. Okay.
Who's written a book about it all called Chill. And we developed an 8-week course. The reason why we do 8 weeks is because it's two cycles of the moon.
Yes. Okay.
So that you, if I could get, I mean, going back years ago, one of my stepkids refused to do his homework. So we were just told by a psychologist, there's nothing wrong with him. He's just
put
lazy.
Him in the sea.
Put him down. Put him in the same place.
Put him in the sea for an hour. Then he'll do his homework.
So all you have to do to create a habit is put him in the same place, same time, every day for the cycle of a moon. And he will do his homework magically. So that's where I got the idea for this cycle of the moon thing.
Okay.
A habit is formed.
Yeah.
So it failed, by the way, if you wanted to know. He never did.
He didn't finish school.
No. totally useless. But we had the idea from this that a cycle of the moon is a good thing. So we had two cycles of the moon. So basically a habit is sort of formed.
Yeah.
And that was the idea. But you're not actually going in the water for an hour, obviously, because it's too damn cold.
Yes.
So let's say we're in Devon and we will meet in the car park.
Okay.
And we will go through something to do with it's like a course. It's a sea water swimming course. So we'll go through some theory, be it riptides or currents or you know, stuff like that. Something that's really interesting, or the benefits of cold water.
There's an educational part at the start.
Sorry?
So there's an educational part at the start for, you know, people on this course. So for 8 weeks, you know, it's not just an hour in the water bobbing along, chatting, having a chinwag. There's actual some structure to it. Okay.
Yeah.
So start with the education. Great. Next part.
Yeah. So then you go into the water slowly, and you wash your hands and wash your face and wash the back of your head, which is where the vagus nerve is situated.
Yes.
And the idea is to tell your body that something's coming, which you're probably not going
to
like.
Really cold.
Really cold.
Yeah.
And then you go into the water. And then if we're in North Devon, there are loads of things you can do. You can learn how to float. You can learn how to duck dive. You can learn how to body surf. You can learn how to swim, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. So then, again, it's hands-on sort of teaching and training and not just bobbing around, whatever. So you're actually engaged. And this engagement, we think, is a good thing because they're learning to be safe, because the whole idea is this costs 100 quid or something. Most of it's funded, but it doesn't cost very much. The whole course is very cheap. But more than that, after they finish the course, they will carry on doing their swimming. So the idea is to make them more safe in an unsafe environment. So you're actually in the water for, at the beginning, literally 3 or 4 minutes.
Okay.
And that's building up to 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. But that depends on the temperature, the air temperature, and also the sea temperature.
Okay.
So that's it.
I mean, very, very, very insightful. Lots of information. Now, let's go on to the risks. What are some of the risks from cold water therapy? Because, you know, they might be minor, they might be major. There are risks with most things. But what have you guys found, really, or seen?
So if you've got to be, we're doing courses for Macmillan.
Oh, okay.
And they have, obviously, a cancer diagnosis. Mm-hmm. So if you've had a cancer diagnosis, you really need to go to your doctor to find out, to get the sign off. Because when you're undergoing treatment, you might be more easily able to pick up a virus or get ill. So therefore, you would need to check with your doctor. Likewise, if you've got a heart condition, you would need to sign off to your doctor. So if you've got anything that you think could affect you in the water, as in the cold, then go to your doctor and see whether you can go in. I've been doing this for 5 years now, and we've had people who've got cold.
I mean, you're going in cold water. Of course we're going to get cold, right?
Yeah. So I remember we coming up to this time of the year, you only want people to start at this time of the year who regularly go in the water.
Okay.
So you shouldn't really start if it's getting down about now. It's okay. But here we are, we're sitting at probably 13 degrees. That's okay. Positively balmy. That's going to go down to 7. So let's say by the end of December, you don't really want to start doing this. And then you'd have to wait till next year. So we had one lady who went in and she told us that she'd been in regularly, and it was sort of January, and she hadn't. And she became very, very cold. And I was concerned. But at no stage did she actually stop shaking. So if you go into cold water, and your temperature is at 37 degrees. If that goes down to 35 degrees, you've got hypothermia.
Okay.
So this lady could have got that far. She was okay. She warmed up. She was fine. Mm-hmm. So hypothermia is a very real thing that could happen. So How you do that is, number one, you go in with other people.
Yeah.
And if you get hypothermia, you start mumbling. You start talking rubbish.
Yes.
You're disorientated. So
maybe I live with hypothermia.
Sorry?
I said maybe I live with hypothermia.
Exactly. Well, that's exactly what I was saying. So you go in with a friend.
Yes,
so if they went in with you, they know that you're always talking a little bit of rubbish. So therefore, if you start talking more rubbish,
yes,
they would know
okay.
how you are. So they're looking at you and they're seeing, are you responding? What's your color like? Have you gone? Are you going really pale, really blue, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So you've got to watch that. Also, when you get out, you've got to get out before you feel really, really cold, because there's such a thing called after drop.
Yes, that was what I was going to ask you. You know, how can you prevent that and stuff? So I'll let you continue.
Okay. So after drop is very simply, you're getting cold. And then you get out of the water and you take off your wet stuff and you put on your changing robe and you put on your woolly hat, you put on everything, and then you have a hot drink, which actually is more psychological than anything, to tell you the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have something like some chocolate, which is really, really good. This is when it's really extreme, when it's really cold.
Hey, balance.
And if you carry out those things, then you will hopefully prevent hypothermia. But also you get out before you feel really, really bad. So you get out feeling good.
Mm-hmm.
So if you do all that, then the chances of getting hypothermia are sort of minimal. We've never had it,
okay,
to tell you the truth. So if you do all those things, get out, don't stand there for too long. And certainly when you begin, but a lot of people make the mistake of feeling really, really good and then getting out and then just standing there like that. No.
Yes. Okay.
Stuff on and get warm.
So build into it. Your biggest piece of advice would be build into it. Don't try and be a hero. You know, don't try and do 20 minutes at the start. Start with, you said at the start, I think you said 3, 5, 10, 15.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's there's no exact science to it.
No, of course.
It will depend on your body weight, and the makeup of your body and what you can suffer and what you can take.
Yeah.
So the best thing to do is to get in there for a few minutes. It depends on the time of the year as well. So but get in there for a few minutes and then gauge it and see how you are. And then if that works really, really well, then you can go up and up and up. But the second time you go, you might have a bit of a cold. So just really, really watch it. It might be colder. The air temperature might be colder, et cetera. So you've got to, you know, gauge it to you and your and the surrounding.
Okay, perfect. Right, Mike, we are short on time. So last question. Any advice for someone wanting to try cold water therapy?
So first of all, we've got proof that it works. You're going to feel better. Always do it with someone else. Always go to where it's safe. Make sure you've done your own little risk assessment to make sure you can get in and get out safely.
Yes.
Make sure you can get out of your clothes and get into warm clothes quickly.
Okay.
And take it in very slow stages.
Yeah. Great advice. Mike, thank you so much for today. Really interesting, really insightful. And obviously mental health is a big thing. You know, anxiety and mental health is a big thing at the moment. So this has been really insightful. Where can people find you online? Do you have a website, social media, TikTok, Instagram, all of those things? Please let us know.
So we're at www.chilluk.org. And we're on Facebook at Brave the Chill. Or you can email me, Mike, at chilluk.org, and there are a whole lot of hubs, chill hubs around the UK.
Amazing. Well, Mike, thank you so much. If I don't speak, have a great Christmas period, and thank you for your time.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
Take care. Thanks again. Bye bye.
Bye.
Right, guys, coming up after this short break, I'll be speaking with Vern Hill about the importance of fitness for postnatal depression.
FUBAR Radio. Pulse of the Nation with Andrew White on FUBAR Radio.
Danny Harmer, hello.
Thank you, what an introduction.
I heard in an interview, this may no longer be the case, but in 2020 you said you never actually read the original Tracy Beaker.
I've still never read it, and I'm gonna go down with this ship, and quite frankly, I shall never read it. I've got this far in life. And do you know what? I think it's kind of, in a weird way, I think it helped me get the part, because I had no idea of this character apart from the character that I made her.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio. Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored, and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all FUBAR shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app. Just search for FUBAR Radio on the Apple and Google app stores. Yay! The FUBAR Radio app. Get it today. Get it today.
When you notice something wrong, it tends to grow and eventually take over, to the point you can't really think of anything else. If something in your body doesn't feel right, the thought it could be cancer can play on your mind. Tests could put your mind at rest. Finding out sooner is always better. Your NHS wants to see you. Contact your GP practice.
I was fine on this beach the other day. I didn't know the time of high tide changes, and I had no idea it could come in so fast. So I'm finding out the hard way from this fella, the Coast Guard, who dropped in to get me out.
Ready!
Before you go to the coast, check the tide times online. In an emergency, call 999 and ask for the Coast Guard.
That Money Show with Gabriel Nussbaum on FUBAR Radio.
You might then see friends, family that require a little bit of support, financial advice. How do you go about sharing that advice, sharing that support without being condescending?
A practical tip that everyone can do that is low friction, send them financial content that you like. If you have a favorite content creator, if you see an article that you like, send them the video and just ask them, what do you think? And then that can begin a conversation around it.
Couple Goals with Sophie Kasai and Jordan Brooke.
When is too early to say I love you? Soph said it the night we met.
Yeah. Right, let's just clear this up, right? When I said I love you, I remember I said it in the car.
In the cab, yeah.
In the cab, and I was like, oh my God, I love you.
Yeah, well, that was the day I made you my girlfriend, wasn't it?
Yeah. And I said I love you, and you were like, I love you too. And I was like, I love you, 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 I love you so much, I love you so much, oh my God, I love you.
Follow us at What The Health Show for more with George. This is What The Health.
This is What The Health on FUBAR Radio with me, George Bertineau. Joining me now to discuss postnatal well-being is Vern Hill, founder of CarryFit. Is that correct? Is it, Vern? Did I say it correctly?
You absolutely nailed it, George. Yeah, good. Yeah, very, very good. CarryFit.
I've just got to say something. When you popped up on Zoom a minute ago, this is fantastic. But I was giggling to myself. I was not expecting to see you with a prosthetic, maybe. Is that the correct word?
Yeah, we call them demonstration dolls, but yeah, essentially fake babies.
A fake baby or a demonstration doll. Right, Vern, thank you again for joining me. So, can you share a bit about your background and how you became an anti and postnatal fitness expert?
I can indeed, yeah. So my background is pre and postnatal fitness. I've been training new mums for 20 years, long before it was trendy and something you stuck in your Instagram bio. Yeah. I've done it as part of my degree at St Mary's University.
Great university. And
then went to work for a big health club chain. Nobody else was trained in pre or postnatal. So if somebody fell pregnant and was a member, it was ship them to Vern and let him deal with them, because it was very much at that stage. It was in the early kind of development as a part of the fitness kind of world. There was still elements where it was kind of frowned upon. How much should you be doing in pregnancy? How much do we really know about it? What are the benefits? Mm. Of course, now, 20 years on, we know absolutely loads about the benefits. And it's a very common thing to be following a specifically
antenatal or postnatal fitness program. So yeah, started 20 years ago, long before I had kids of my own, and then eventually had my own place in London that was all family focused, all pre and postnatal Great. focused, and that was how the whole baby wearing adventure started. I used to wear my clients' babies rather than have them crawling around the gym.
Yes, that's really interesting, and that's super clever. I mean, I love what you said at the start. You know, it's not just, you know, you've actually got your qualifications, you've been doing this for years, you're not doing it just because it's trendy, you're doing it because it was something that you're interested in, and the research is through the roof now, and that's what I love about fitness. You know, I've worked with pregnant ladies in the past, you know, obviously, I'm not qualified in that area, so I'm very particular with what I give them. I'm not going to suggest things that I don't know if are correct, and obviously I like to do my homework. But the main thing is, this is exciting with obviously what we're going to talk about and stuff. So as a father of two, how has your own parenting journey been influenced, you know, towards the way you work today?
I mean, it's really interesting. So there's two distinct chapters to kind of my working life with new mums. There's the bit before I saw it all up close and mm-hmm. watched my own wife go through it all and have to recover from two abdominal births, from two C-sections and yeah. all that kind of stuff. So there was the bit where everything was very much rooted in science, research, knowledge, and then application of that to people. But if I'm brutally honest with myself on reflection, probably without the levels of empathy and in truth, just kind of admiration and marvel of what a woman's body is capable of doing, mm-hmm. Of growing a life, of recovering from it, of going again and again if they choose to. So there's very much two chapters. And I think the big thing that's changed for me post having my own children is that empathy, that seeing it up close, that very much puts into very stark contrast for you that every journey for every mum is entirely unique and incredibly so personal.
Yeah.
And you can have all the book knowledge in the world and you can understand every bit of the science and the biomechanics and the why we should do this, that and the other. But turning up and actually dealing and supporting with these mums each day, the practical application of that just varies wildly. And that really is the skill, I think, in good pre and postnatal programming. It's knowing how somebody's feeling when they walk in the door on any given day and then making allowances on the hoof, because it is a complete roller coaster for these mums, physically, mentally, emotionally. Mm-hmm. And I think once you start to understand that, you can look at them with a whole lot more reverence and kind of respect. And kind of marvel at it whilst applying everything you know to take best care of them.
Yeah, and that's the thing that's super interesting, right, is you've seen it all, you know, and everyone's journey is unique and everyone's journey is different, but you have seen so many different varieties of situations and stuff, you know, and that's why I always frown upon individuals that don't have the qualifications or, you know, don't have the experience. Like, what makes it right for them to be able to help someone pre and postnatal, right? You know, like you said, you can read a book, but when you've got the applicable knowledge from practical situations, that's what deems you the expert.
Yeah, so I think there's levels to expertise, right? And there's levels to experience. And I think one of the things sometimes the fitness industry, certainly over the last 20 years, has been lacking is a little bit of regulation around some of this stuff and holding people that are client-facing to the right standards. And I think that's universal across lots of aspects of the mm-hmm. fitness industry. So I think you've got to go and get the right qualifications. You've got to understand the science, the biomechanics, the programming behind what you're going to ask this population of people to do. Mm-hmm. And then you have to build experience. So you actually have to do, I think, client-facing stuff. So for years, I worked on a gym floor. That is the best experience you can get, because you're seeing people face to face, you're interacting with them, you're hearing their stories. Even though CarryFit now is a totally different business, mm-hmm. I still teach 4 CarryFit classes in person a week. Yeah. It's the best part of my week every single week by a mile, because you are there impacting people where they need it the most. So I think you've got to get the qualifications, you've got to have the understanding, and then you have to build the experience. And it's the combination of those two things that then makes people subject experts, or really for their clients, makes those clients feel incredibly well looked after. Mm-hmm. It's very hard to do anything fresh from scratch, but you have to. You can never, I don't think, knock people for not having the experience. You can absolutely knock them for not having the qualifications.
Yes, agreed, agreed. And like you said, regulation needs to be put into place for the whole fitness industry. But that's a whole other topic of conversation, and we're going to focus on this because this is important and this is exciting. So how can postpartum exercise help both mums physically and mentally?
Yeah, so, I mean, there's lots we know about the physical recovery. There's lots we know now in a more modern, evidence-based, research-backed context around lifting, around the need to load the postnatal body to help it recover effectively and efficiently. And I think there is this there's this terrible notion and this term that's widely used around bouncing back. And it's a terrible word because it says all the wrong things, that we want you to snap back into shape really quickly and look a certain way. And that's not actually what we want as fitness professionals. What we want and what our job is to get you back to full function as quickly and safely as possible. And that will vary wildly. And like most things in life, everything's in the gray, it's in the nuance. For some people, that might take 4 months, 5 months to feel back to doing what they were doing before. For others, it might take 18 months, 2 years. But it's our job as fitness professionals to safely guide people through their own journey, through all of those things we need them to be able to do to function physically and thrive as quickly and safely as possible. And if we do that, we know then that the mental health benefit for those mums is absolutely huge.
Yeah.
Because one of the big problem factors is when mums feel this complete disconnect or distrust in their body, and that has absolute implications on every aspect of their life, social, emotional. It can lead to isolation. They don't want to go out. They don't want to move. They don't want to take fresh air. Mm. So through movement, through properly prescribed, well orchestrated movement, mm-hmm. we can help impact every part of that postnatal experience in a positive way.
Yeah, and I think what you said is so correct. Like, my next question is obviously going to be about timings or what the gold standard is. But like you said, it's about functional fitness, isn't it? It's about being functional again and then building up. So I have a rehab background. So for me, you know, I always say to people, well, start small. And then if you could do it once and you're fine, do it again. And a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more. It's okay to take an extra 2, 3, 4 weeks or 2, 3, 4 months if you're doing something than just going once a week and going, oh, I'm not making any progress.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
So the whole way I have explained postnatal fitness to clients for years is it's a series of checkpoints. Mm. And you'll move to those checkpoints and move through them at different paces. And even that will ebb and flow. And there's nothing more stark than that sort of recovering your core and your pelvic floor function. Mm-hmm. You might whiz through the first 2 or 3 parts of a program, and then you might get really stuck with an exercise or a move that we know you want to do because you want to get back to running or something higher impact.
Yeah.
And that it might take you a month to nail before you then move on again. So it's not about the time it takes. It's about the checkpoints you go through to make sure that recovery actually leads to full function and full function back doing what you want to do. And that's the other bit that's lost. We train at CarryFit. We have triathletes and CrossFitters come and do CarryFit postnatally.
Yeah.
We have other people that just want to be able to go back for a walk with their family on a Sunday and not have their back ache.
Yeah.
It's all about where you want to get to. That's your function. That's your personal bit. But the checkpoints to get there are pretty universal and well known and understood now.
Okay. Now, kind of makes my next question a little bit null and void, but how do new mums know when they're ready to start exercising again? Because I always used to hear 6 weeks, and then I met a girl who was super, super fit, and she was like, yeah, I was back training 4 weeks, and I knew a pre- and postnatal coach who was training a lady the day before she dropped, and all of these things. So again, very situational, but is there a gold standard for it? Or again, like you said, is it more just tick, tick, tick?
So there's this mythical kind of notion in the UK built up around your 6 week postnatal check that is clearance to exercise. And what's interesting with that is that's an insurance exercise for fitness providers. So we can tick a box and say you've had your 6 week check.
Yeah.
And if you read the NHS guidelines, they're really kind of woolly around what that entails, what exercise is. And there's no physical component, no physical assessment to that 6 week check. Now, The other thing that's really important with this is the word exercise. So I would say postnatally, lying on your back 7 weeks postnatally and doing some core breathing is exercise and of huge benefit. But a lot of people in their head, they immediately accelerate forwards the word exercise to what I used to do before I was pregnant. And that's where people get a little bit unstuck. So exercise is anything in my book that is contributing to that successful pathway back to full form and function. So we often say with Carry Fit, which is a baby wearing fitness program, before you even come and do Carry Fit, we want you to do some breath work. And we want you to be able to go out for a 30-minute walk wearing your baby and feel great about it.
Yes, okay.
And it's simple things like that. That is exercise because it's contributing to your recovery and it's keeping you safe and it's entirely appropriate for where you're at. Yeah. So it really is that kind of, you have to understand the principles and then bring the principles to meet you where you are.
Okay. Well, that leads perfectly on to the next question. What is baby wearing?
So baby wearing is the simple age-old act of wearing your baby in a carrier or a sling. So it's something that is incredibly trendy again. It's done all over the world. Every culture around the world has their own history of baby wearing. The history and background of baby wearing is fascinating, culture to culture. I'm a total baby wearing geek, having done both peer supporter and consultant training. So baby wearing nut job on the show, fair to say. Even the Welsh, where I'm originally from, have their own baby wearing heritage. The Cwtch blanket, the cuddle blanket, the started life as a shawl to wrap your baby in. So baby wearing is the simple act of wearing your baby, keeping them on your body. And of course, because we give birth as a species, mums give birth to carried young, it's exactly the best place for them to be, particularly in those formative months. They're calmer, they cry less, it helps with their vestibular system development, helps with their brain development, their speech and language development, helps with their thermoregulation. Okay. So it keeps your babies really safe, really close, really calm. So it has huge benefits for our babies. And of course, all of those things that I've just said, if your baby's close, calm and really well cared for, the knock-on into the household atmosphere and anxiety levels is massively reduced. So baby wearing is a really cool skill to learn, and of course at Carry Fit we've applied that on a whole nother level into this world of baby wearing movement and baby wearing fitness.
So what sort of workouts are suitable for baby wearing parents? Is there anything off limits? Yeah. Obviously, you're not going to go swimming.
Yeah, so there's certain things you absolutely cannot do in baby carriers: running, jumping, rock climbing. I would say all those kind of sensible things. So take Carry Fit as an example. So Carry Fit stands for cardio and resistance intervals equals getting you fit. Now it's a low impact, multi-directional, rooted in the movements of motherhood workout that's done for 30 minutes. So it's not overly long, but it's not so short you don't feel satisfied. So baby wearing, and this is one of the best changes with all of the recent kind of research and the new knowledge from physios around loading the postnatal body. Your baby is your perfect personalized dumbbell. It is the exact load you have to tolerate hour after hour, day after day, and it's always getting heavier. So we in Carry Fit, we try and keep your body ahead of your baby. We use dumbbells, we use hoops, and we work a series of movements that are pre-programmed that really reflect the multi-directional nature of parenting, because it's brutal. It's brutal on dads, and we're not in a recovering body. So on mums, it's particularly brutal. So it's low impact, multi-directional, and it's really focused on appreciating what the body's been through and where we want to get it to.
Okay, nice. And we are running out of time, so last few questions. Are there any big misconceptions about postnatal fitness that you kind of want to dispel once and for all?
So I think there's the big one that's really interesting to me at the minute is impact. We know that impact needs to wait. So even if you were an ardent runner and high impact athlete, that needs to be pushed down the road. We need to always lead with core and pelvic floor. I think it would be amazing if everybody, as part of their care pathway, had a physio checkup. We work with the Mummy MOT, which is a huge physio network. So you really know where you're starting from. So push impact down the road, I think would be sort of top tip. And then the other one that I would think is don't benchmark against your pre-pregnancy lifestyle in terms of fitness.
Yes.
You might have used to be able to take 2 hours to go to the gym, have a smoothie, do a workout, have a natter. Something is always going to be more impactful than nothing. And we know from all the research that actually anything kind of like 8 minutes upward can have a really positive mental health impact and feel like a real win. Mm. So it doesn't have to take ages. It doesn't have to be complicated. Do it in your PJs in front of the telly. Just do it and you will feel better for having done it.
Okay. And I mean, great advice. I mean, I'm a big fan. And I say this most weeks, comparison is the thief of all joy. So, you know, post-pregnant mum is always going to compare herself to pre-pregnant mum. And I speak to clients all the time. I speak to women all the time. You know, my body's not the same post baby. Yeah, okay, but you know, how long ago was it? You know, have you just been using the baby as a reason? Like, there's lots of reasons for why people are what they are, but again, that's another topic for another day. Last question. Okay, for a parent who's never exercised postnatally or who feels nervous about working out whilst, you know, baby wearing, where should they begin?
So I think when it comes specifically to baby wearing fitness, we know that about 90% of parents in the UK will buy a baby carrier. Yeah. So it starts with getting good at baby wearing. Know how your carrier works, get your baby in it, get walking, get comfortable and confident with the baby wearing aspect. Mm-hmm. That will boost your mind, your mood. That will boost your energy on any given day. Just go for a walk in your baby carrier. When it comes to them baby wearing fitness, obviously you can come and seek out CarryFit. We've built an entire app that is packed full of medical, physio, and then moves you gradually into baby wearing workouts that you can do at home. So that is all there. Think of it as Peloton for parents, except your bike's a baby carrier.
I like that. Peloton for parents. That's fantastic.
Peloton for parents, but your bike's a baby carrier. Yeah. Those are the kind of vibes we go for. And then there's increasingly what's great is there is a rise in local provision for this. So there's some great providers where you can actually go and find a community baby wearing workout. Now, it might not be CarryFit, it might be one of the other branded ones, but everybody there should be trained in pre and postnatal. Shortly, they'll have had to do some kind of baby wearing movement qualification, which will be absolutely fantastic. And so we're really trying to elevate the support that mums feel. The main thing with baby wearing and baby wearing movement is remember that other cultures and countries around the world, they don't buy buggies. They just wear their baby and they move everywhere. They do everything wearing their baby. You can't overwear your baby. You're not going to make a clingy baby or a rod for your own back. You're just going to feel amazing. So nail the baby wearing bit, see what's there locally. And if not, come and check us out at CarryFit, check out the CarryFit app, all that kind of stuff. There's increasing resources for parents that want to work out wearing their baby.
Vern, honestly, thank you so much. This is really, really interesting stuff. Where can people find you online? CarryFit, tell us everything. Socials, drop it.
So they can find us at getcarryfit.com. I would say our Instagram, which is just carry_fit, is a great place to get a flavor of what we are all about and how we do it and how we support parents. You'll see some class clips, some app stuff, a lot of talk around baby wearing and lots of tips to help parents break that confidence hurdle and really get good at it fast. So come and check us out there. We're very amenable in the DMs for questions. We get asked lots of questions every day about this stuff. Main thing is don't kind of sit at home quietly wondering. If you think it's for you, go find it, because I truly believe of all the things you can do postnatally, baby wearing fitness will change your life.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for your time. You have a great rest of your day and we'll speak to you soon.
Thanks, George. Thank Feels you. Like there's an episode 2 in there somewhere, but
definitely.
Great to meet you.
And thanks you, for having care. Us. Thanks again. Bye-bye. Coming up after this short break, I'll be answering some of your listener questions.
FUBAR Radio.
Death, a funny business on FUBAR Radio with Becky Briggs and Natasha Spencer-Levy.
We store so much of our trauma and our energy in our body. I am just incredibly, incredibly tired of keeping this trauma locked inside my body. And so all I needed to do is release it. You know, it's like going on a bender and drinking too much booze and you throw it up, because you just need to get that out of your system, because it's gonna catch up with you at some point if you don't.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio. Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored, and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all FUBAR shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app. Just search for FUBAR Radio on the Apple and Google App Stores. Yay! The FUBAR Radio app. Get it today. Get it today.
Some companies try to reel people in by promising quick cash if you pay them to claim work expenses. But think twice before taking the bait, because they might just want to land a commission, and it turns out you aren't eligible to claim anything. You'll have to pay HMRC back, and it's unlikely the company will refund any fees. So don't get caught out. Check if you're eligible and make a claim with HMRC for free online. Just search Don't Get Caught Out.
When you go abroad, everyone knows the best way to make yourself understood is to just say everything in English, but louder.
Four beers, please, garçon!
If only there was a way that could work with your advertising campaign. Well, there is. And you're listening to it. Because when you amplify your advertising with radio, 40 million listeners every week get the message. See radio differently at radiocentre.org.
All areas with Bobby Norris.
We are joined by Miss Safia. If I could produce you a salt, what is he like on paper? Sound like we're on Love Island.
Okay, on paper, my type has to have a good soul, good purpose and calm energy. I'm in my energy era where you've just got to come in and make me happy. I don't need you for anything. I want to find happiness and I need him to be kind.
Politics Uncensored.
The more alarming question is, what does this say to victims of these sorts of crimes which have been alleged on them? Essentially, what they'll be looking at is two men who have a huge online influence, who say some of the most disgusting things online and spout off some of the, I think, most dangerous sort of ideas and narratives in the online space, that they've essentially been able to travel to the US while they're still under investigation in multiple countries.
What the hell? With Georges Bertineau, exclusively on FUBAR Radio.
This is What the Hell on FUBAR Radio with me, Georges Bertineau. Now it's time for some listener questions. If you want to get involved, you can DM us at What the Health Show on Instagram. Right, first question is very Christmassy, so wrap yourselves up and get ready for this one. How can I enjoy Christmas to the max but still watch my weight? Fantastic question. There's two ways you can look at this. The first way is Christmas is only one day. Aha. I know we look at the whole month as Christmas, or we look at the whole week, or we look at the 24th and the 25th and then the 26th, and then all of a sudden it's the weekend, and then it's New Year. But technically, Christmas is only one day. Like your birthday, Christmas is one day. Eat, drink, be happy. Don't worry about your weight, because there's 101 things that that cause your weight to fluctuate, that will cause you to increase in weight, volume of food, alcohol, sodium, poor sleep because of the alcohol. You know, there's lots of things. So don't worry about watching your weight for Christmas. Now, if you're going to be a piglet for the whole week, or let's say for a 5 to 10 day period, what you need to do is you need to maybe not have breakfast, or you need to maybe say, right, I'm not going to fast, but I'm going to reduce my calorie window. So every day for the next 10 days, excluding Christmas, I'm going to have food. My first meal is going to be at 12, and then my last meal is going to be at 8, which means you're going to maybe have more food in a shorter space of time, which means you're going to be fuller for longer, or you're going to be more satisfied and satiated. Also on Christmas Day, eat lots of the meats, potatoes and veg. All of those things are super, super great for you. So my biggest advice is enjoy Christmas, have an amazing time, screw what the scales say, because you can pick it up the day after Boxing Day or the day after that, okay? So just relax and enjoy yourself. That is my biggest piece of advice to you. Guys, it's a roundup for the show. Massive thank you to our guests, Mike and Vern, who have joined us today on What the Health Show. Super interesting and insightful topics. A reminder for you guys that you can download the app and you can listen each week. You can follow us on social media. We are at What The Health Show on Instagram. If you want any health and fitness advice or any help with your goals, I provide a top tier no BS coaching service. You can DM me at George Burt on Instagram. The show will be available to listen back to on all good podcasting platforms. Just a thank you from me. I'll be back next week for another jam-packed show. I'm George. Thanks for listening. Love you. Bye.